Our first scripture today is from Isaiah 55, 1 through 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader, and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immoralities as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did, as they were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. Be with the testing. He will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure.
And finally, from Luke's Gospel. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell among them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." May God add blessing to the reading of this scripture. I should tell you ahead of time, as you can probably hear, I discovered to my dismay just before our chorale performance last week that I have laryngitis. So bear with me. The invitation itself was impressive. It was printed in gold script on thick cream-colored paper. The lettering was engraved into the paper. One doesn't get invitations like this very often, and the fact that it was delivered by a uniformed butler type on a silver tray made it even more impressive. It said, "You are cordially invited to a banquet given in honor of a great dignitary. Formal attire is required, and the banquet is to be held on." Here they gave a date that was only a week away. The feast was being held in a very posh restaurant, which I never in my wildest dreams could afford to go there and eat on my own. And now I had an invitation to go there. I wasn't sure why anybody would invite me to such an event as this, but I wasn't about to question good fortune. The next week was a very busy one for me. I got a haircut, I rented a tux and took some books out of the library so that I could bone up on formal social etiquette. This was to be the biggest thing on my social calendar all year, and I expected it to be grand. I was not disappointed. Entering the hall was like walking into the Palace of Versailles in terms of grandeur. The people were beautiful and dressed so exquisitely that they made my rented tux look like bib overalls. I thought that this was an opulent setting. And the table, never had I seen anything like this in my life. The food looked and smelled heavenly. And this was just the hors d'oeuvres course. The plates were porcelain. They were inlaid with Black Hills gold. I knew it wasn't just painted on. The wine decanters were made of crystal that was so bright I practically had to squint as I looked at them. Needless to say, I was impressed, but I was also hungry. I figured that since the appetizers were laid out, it indicated that we were to just help ourselves. But when I tried, a maid told me that the food needed to be photographed for the press first. So I mingled while the reporters fed their cameras with images of all this delicious food. After this came the speaker, who praised the dignitary who could give his people such glorious, beautiful food to look at. My stomach interrupted halfway through the speech. The people sitting on either side of me glowered at me and pointedly pretended not to notice. After this, the photographers were back again so that each of us could be photographed with some of the different dishes of food and modeling to show how that we had been there and how handsomely laid out the table was. I smiled gamely as I held a pheasant under glass, wishing that I could just hold the glass and have eaten the pheasant. But in any case, the pictures continued, and finally, about 11 p.m., somebody broke etiquette and said what we were all feeling. "I'm hungry. Let's eat." The hosts took the hint, and all of the finery began to be removed. I asked a butler where they were taking it. He told me that it was to be stored and frozen until the banquet next year, but not to worry because food was on its way. A few minutes later, a clown who I recognized as the trademark of a fast food restaurant arrived in a red, white, and yellow tuxedo, leading a battalion of uniformed employees connected with that chain, who brought to all of us hamburgers, fries, shakes, and soft drinks. Dinner was served at last. The invitation which we have in today's lesson from Isaiah is of a different nature. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. In this passage, we are given a tremendous invitation to abundant life as children of God. Each of us longs for this life. Our involvement in the church, our respect for the Bible and the things of God reflect this desire to walk with God. And yet, all too often, we settle for hamburgers and fries when we have been invited to a grand banquet. Like the story I just told you, we settle for appearances when we are called to abundant life. It isn't so much that we don't want abundance in our lives, but the abundance spoken of in Isaiah requires something of us, something called commitment. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. It's not always an easy thing to admit that we have fallen short of God's glory. We do it every week in the corporate confession. And yet, how often do we take seriously what it means to confess, to turn from sin, and to recommit our lives to Christ? Lent is the time in the church year when we especially think of repentance. But we are called on at all times to live lives of repentance and service. In the gospel reading, Jesus' main point is that our lives should be lived in a spirit of repentance. Pilate's murdering of innocent people and the tower falling only illustrate this. We never know when our time will come, whether through human treachery or through a freak accident. We should always live as those who are prepared to die. We do this by dying to ourselves and living to God. Walking in lives of devotion and repentance, as is symbolized by the season of Lent. None of us would deny that we desire an abundant life. But while God's grace to us in Christ is free, it costs us our lives, just as it cost Christ his. There is nothing that we could do to earn God's grace, nor would God expect us to. But we have been called into a covenant relationship with God, and our part of that covenant requires commitment, repentance, and service. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, that the wicked forsake their way. Let us return to the Lord who will have mercy on us and to our God who will abundantly pardon. John Locke defined repentance in this way. Repentance is a hearty sorrow for our past misdeeds and a sincere resolution and an endeavor to the utmost of our power to conform all our actions to the law of God. It does not consist of one single act of sorrow, but in doing works meet for repentance. It is a sincere obedience to the law of Christ for the remainder of our lives. During Lent, and in the passages we heard this morning, we are reminded of the importance of living a life that's based on repentance and service to God and to others. When we care for the outcast, the hungry, and those who are in need, we are living the covenant. When we devote ourselves to caring for the environment of this world that God has given to us, We are living in this repentance and in this service. We care for our neighbor because God loves and cares for us. This is what the abundant life is based on. John quotes Jesus as saying, "Whoever enters by me will be saved, and I will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Just as the prophet calls us into abundance, Jesus also calls us to lives that are meaningful because we have committed them to God's service. Oftentimes we strive for abundance in our lives by other means. The American dream tells us that money and affluence are the keys to abundance, and many have tried to enter by that door. One such man was J.C. Penney, somebody that you have probably heard of just by going shopping at Penney's. He was a man of advanced years before he fully committed himself to his faith. He'd always been a very good and honest man, but he was primarily interested in being a success and in making money. Mr. and Mrs. Penney worked very hard to expand their business. One day, Mrs. Penney caught a cold that expanded into pneumonia, and this ailment eventually cost her her life. It was then that J.C. Penney realized that having money was a poor substitute for a real purpose in living. He said, "When she died, my world crashed about me. To build business, to make a success, to accumulate money, what was the purpose in life? What had money meant for my wife? I felt mocked by life and sometimes even by God himself." After several more significant trials, Penny was financially ruined and in deep distress. This was when God could deal with his self-righteous nature and his love for money. After his spiritual awakening, he could testify to God's working in him. He said, "I had to pass through the fiery ordeals before reaching glimmerings of conviction that it was not enough to be upright and moral by human standards. When I was brought to humility and the knowledge of dependence on God, sincerely and earnestly seeking God's aid, it was forthcoming. And a light illuminated my being. I cannot otherwise describe it than to say that it changed me as a human being." J.C. Penney had to go through a lot because he realized that affluence and the American dream was not what constituted abundance in life. Only through humility, repentance, and accepting God's grace and service can we begin to eat of the banquet that I was invited to, rather than merely being seen there. In Revelation, Christ is recorded as saying this to the church at Laodicea, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you, and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." This same invitation is open to us as well. If we allow him a place in our hearts, he will eat the banquet with us. He will be our friend and our trusted comrade, which is what table fellowship symbolized in biblical times. And in him we will conquer. The choice is ours, to seek the Lord while he may be found, or to serve in name only. The choice is ours. Amen.